Welcome back, everybody, to the Quill and Query podcast. My name is Brandon Hall. As always, I'm joined today by my wonderful co-host, Ash. Ash, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, Brandon. It's a great day.
It is a great day. We are joined by several new faces and one returning face, actually. Got to correct myself there. But yeah, today's a very special day. Blades for Hire is out. It's available on Amazon in paperback and ebook. So to celebrate, we have some of our fellow anthology authors here with us today. And it's going to be a little bit of a different episode for you guys. We're going to chat about the anthology and a bunch of different fun topics today. But before I continue my rambling, I'm going to let the guests introduce themselves. So I guess I'll just go in alphabetical order, starting with our returning guest, Bex. For those who didn't catch your last episode, let everybody know who you are.
Hi, guys. My name is Bex Gill. And... oh, I can't do that too long. Okay, my name is Bex Gill, and I have published 3 novels and 2 novellas, and now a short story for Blades for Hire. I'm an indie author who is chronically ill, but trying her best, and trying to help out fellow indies every way she can, so yeah.
All right, I think Reverie is up next. New face on Quill and Query. Reverie, let everyone know who you are.
Hi, everybody. My name is Reverie. I'm also an indie author. I've been writing for a pretty long while, but this is my first publication, and I am a huge Tolkien enthusiast, which we'll probably see in my short story. I apologize in advance. That's me.
All right, well, Zach, I think that leaves you.
Awesome. Hey, everyone. I'm Zach LaGreca. I like fantasy. I talk about it on TikTok and Instagram sometimes. I'm not big enough that either. Maybe you've seen me, maybe you haven't. But I also have always loved writing fantasy and joined Brandon's anthology series, wrote a story. And so I'm excited to be here and to talk about it.
Well, thank you guys so much for those introductions. Super excited to have you join us on Quill and Query. You are definitely the biggest cast we've had as far as an episode goes. I think the most guests Ash and I have entertained at a given time was 2. So We're slowly increasing.
Just collecting people as we go along. 250%
increase. We got this.
Yeah.
Getting more professional.
We'll see what the max capacity for a Riverside session is. All right. Well, I don't really have any podcast updates for you guys or any audience questions to get into. And I just want to highlight a few things that relate to the Blades for Hire anthology since this is a special episode. If you are joining us today on TikTok or in the recorded version, I am going to be giving a sort of password at the end of the episode. So if you stay from the beginning all the way to the end and you get the password, just DM me the password either on TikTok or Instagram, and I will send you a free ebook copy of Blades for Hire for tuning into Quill and Query.
I love that. Woohoo! Freebies.
You have to stay for the whole episode though. That's the catch.
Whole episode.
I like that. I love that.
And before we get into all the nitty-gritty details with Blades for Hire as well, the primary goal of the anthology was to support a charity, a good cause. The one we chose was Book Trust. So anyone who wants to learn more about Book Trust or donate themselves, you just have to go to booktrust.org. The gist of what Book Trust does is they aim to provide equitable access to books to children around the world, to kind of help, you know, build that love of reading that I think most of us here can relate to, and also encourage literacy in areas of the world that need help with that. So super good cause. And if you pick up Blades for Hire, all the proceeds go directly to Book Trust as well. So you can support them that way if you would like to do that as well. Get your fantasy fix and support a good cause at the same time.
Yep. Buy fantasy books. Help kids.
What more do you need? What more can you ask for? Exactly.
Yeah, what more do you need?
Perfect.
Support the children.
All right. Well, we chatted a little bit about this offline, guys, but I want to start the conversation with the beginning of Blades for Hire, which I also didn't realize until we touched on it a few minutes ago how long ago this was. So Back in 2023, near the end, is when I launched the sign-up form for Blades for Hire. So obviously, you know, I was the one who organized it and came up with the theme, but you all had to agree to sign up to be a part of this anthology and write a short story for it. So I kind of want to hear from each of you what interested you the most about working on Blades for Hire and what drew you to the project, and especially what made you want to work with me on it, because I've loved working together over the past year. But yeah, just curious to see what drew each of you individually to the project. So I guess I'll just go in the order of your faces on my screen here. I'll start with you, Bex. What drew you to Blades for Hire?
Well, there's a few different things. I will say, like, in general, my friendship with Brandon, who, even though I thought he was like a 60-year-old man for some reason when we first met, I don't know why. Well, because he didn't like show his face on like his like any videos or anything, and I was like, I don't know why. I feel like I'm almost picturing like George R. R. Martin in my head.
And that would be a good reveal.
I was his alt account.
But way back when I was getting ready to publish Throne of Anguish, my debut, you know, like most indie authors, I didn't know what I was doing. And Brandon had mentioned how he works with like graphic design, and so I had asked him for help on like his opinion on like some cover options, because I made my own covers, and he was so gracious to take the time to comment and help me out, and was so encouraging. And I'm a pretty like basic person, and if you're like nice to me once, I'm a little puppy who will love you forever. So I'm basically blood bonded to Brandon now. So like that was like the foundation, and so I just was like super interested to work with a friend. And then also, you know, anthologies are really great for discovery purposes. You know, because of my chronic illness, I don't have a job or money. Writing's all I got, and so I don't have money to like do ads, but anthologies is a great way to kind of capitalize on other people's reach and audiences, and, you know, just reach new people that way. So those were the main two reasons.
I like how you say you're blood bound to me now, that, because I don't even, it's funny that you mentioned the design for your cover, because I have totally forgotten that that's like where our interactions kind of began. So, but I do remember the 60-year-old man comment.
It's hard to forget a comment like that.
Yeah. In your defense, like you said, I did not show my face. I still don't show my face much on TikTok outside of the podcast. I'm always I mean, even with the podcast, I'm always afraid of like being clipped out of context. But
I should probably be more afraid of that.
Yeah.
I just accept that it's going to happen. Like, someone's going to get mad at me, or someone's going to try and like take something like, you know, without genuine intention and clip something and do something. I'm like, that's just the internet. It's going to happen.
I'm really worried someone's going to take something like me saying I hate kids, and they're just going to run with it. You know, and that's the context is completely lost.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be one of our clip highlights.
Doesn't like kids.
That'll open the episode. I hate kids. Cut to the intro.
That's it. Yeah. Cut.
All right. Well, Ash, you're next in my.
Also said the old vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just me.
Yeah. So I. Gosh, I don't even remember. I think we were just mutual with Brandon, and I saw the you know, your post about it, and I, as I slowly work on my debut novel as well, I was like, this is going to be a great exercise, if accepted, to kind of stretch my writing muscles and do something different. I'm very long-winded, so I thought this was also an excellent challenge for myself, despite Nicole reminding me that I would do three-part short story. But yeah, it was really great to just kind of put it out there and see what happened. Like, the idea for my short story happened as I was signing up, because I was like, I have to do this, or at least I have to try. So yeah, that's kind of the long short of it. It wasn't anything profound or special. I was just like, oh, I like Brandon. I like the concept of an anthology. I love reading anthologies. So let's see if this works. And it did. So I'm really happy. I'm excited.
Yeah, very glad to have both of you as a part of it. Zach, I think you are next on my order of pictures here. So what drew you to Blades for Hire?
Yeah, I think we connected at some point. Like, I was just trying to follow people and also start following some indie authors, because I've wanted to write forever. I've been writing books for over a decade, but like not finishing them. I just keep like starting things, and I was like, I want to try and finish something. And then you put out this call for anthology stories. And I was like, you know, maybe this is a good way to better become part of the writing community. Because I just been consuming content at that point. And then the other thing was just holding myself accountable. Like, I'm actually getting pretty good at starting books. Like, I can get to the, you know, the 25-30% mark of a story, no problem. And I've done it a lot. But I was like, I really want to finish something because I always fall off halfway through a story. And a shorter, like, novella type thing sounded just perfect. And then there's that added accountability of, like, you're doing this with other people. So I felt like, okay, I don't want to let everyone down. If I sign up for this and we're all working towards it, you know, that was kind of, those were the two things. And I think they both paid off. I finished something and I've connected with all of you and, you know, more of the people that we've been working with, and it's been great.
All right, Reverie, that leaves you.
Hello. I've always loved the idea of an anthology of short stories. When I was finishing my degree at Trinity International University, I read a lot of anthologies with short stories, and I always wanted to try something like that. So when Bex and another writer friend of ours was like, hey, you should sign up, I immediately at first was like, oh, I don't know. These writers are probably, you know, a lot better than I am. I've never published anything before. The closest I got was a newspaper article in Colorado in a very small town newspaper. So I was like, I don't really know what I'm doing here. But I decided to trust in God, and I sent in my application, and I was just really, really wanted to work alongside the rest of you because I saw a lot of your posts and your stories that were coming to life, and I was very wanted to see those worlds come to life, and I did, and I'm very grateful to be a part of this anthology.
Fellow Coloradan.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, too.
Oklahoma. I'm actually from Oklahoma, but I went to college in Colorado. Okay, I've been that everywhere.
Counts. That counts.
Yay! Counts.
Well, Brandon, what made you want to start this anthology? Throw it back at you, my guy.
Yeah, I know. I'm not going to escape the question. there were a lot of reasons, really, I guess. The first one is I saw other small indie publishing like houses that were trying to get off the ground do projects like this. Mm-hmm. I saw one themed around dragons. Also, hi, Abby. Nicole's twin is joining us, so that's awesome.
Hi, Abby.
But yeah, I saw these small publishing houses doing similar projects, and they also did the thing where they did it to support a charity and kind of lift up fellow creatives who were still, you know, very early in our writing careers. And I guess a mix of admiration for those projects and a certain level of delusion that I could do the same thing.
Delusion no longer.
Yeah, no longer, but yep. At first.
That's an author's best friend, I feel like. It's delusion.
Yeah, it is. It's part of the assignment.
Yeah, but yeah, it was really just about telling a story. You know, I wanted to put my work out there before I put, you know, a full-length novel into the world. Mm-hmm. And I was exploring different routes and different ways to do that, and short stories seemed to be the best way to go, but also I didn't want to write my own like complete anthology where it's like 12 stories all by me, because then I'm kind of running into the novel problem again, I feel like. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to use it as an opportunity to boost other creative voices and really just support a good cause at the same time. What gave you the confidence? Delusion. Yeah, that's exactly it. That sound is completely precisely applicable here. But yeah, because, you know, when I joined Book Talk, I saw a lot of your guys' posts about the stories you were working on, and just really fell in love with your style of content and the worlds you were creating, even though, you know, some of you haven't put your books out yet, myself included. And I thought it would be a good opportunity to kind of help lift each other up and do something fun.
I think that's super cool. I feel like that faith in authors you're connected with, like, does help lift us up. Like, I don't know if I would have finished the story had you not put that thing out there, and I saw it and I was like, you know what, I'm going to give this a try. And so this, you know, it's been really, really cool.
Yeah, and I liked that you mentioned the accountability thing, because I think that was also really big for me. Something I've struggled with is, even when I do finish like a short story or something, is I struggle with the act of putting it out there. And so kind of committing to that in an anthology means like I can't back out at the last minute because I'm anxious about it. It's like I've already paid for the cover design. I've already marketed it. I've already promised all of these other authors that we're going to publish this. So I can't just, nope, we're not doing it. I'm too scared. So the accountability and working with other authors, it's been a really fun experience. And I've learned a lot over the past year about my writing style, my writing process, and made a lot of fun connections with you guys and the other authors who aren't with us today, but are in the anthology, who wrote amazing short stories for Blades for Hire.
I don't know why it sounded like they died. They're no longer with us.
They're flesh, very much here. They're with us in paper. In spirit. And they're alive and well still, too.
Yes, they're alive and well. They are only afflicted by writer's block, which is the bane of all of our existence.
There we go. Collectively. And imposter syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
The imposter monster that just sits on our shoulder and whispers lies.
Nicole, I was going to say Seth leaving TikTok. Yeah, I think he hasn't been as active on TikTok, but he's still very much alive, I promise.
Oh, yeah, he said he's no longer, from the last I checked, he's no longer on TikTok anymore. He doesn't want to come back as of right now.
Shoot.
All right. I mean, I feel bad. I haven't been on since the ban, quote unquote, because I'm just not about it anymore. Yeah, the ban.
It sucked me back in. I got away for a little while, and then it sucked me back in.
Yeah, I totally get that.
To be fair, Zach, you do have a large following here, so.
Yeah, you do.
That's true. That's okay. An incentive.
I forgot it existed. Genuinely. I just one day opened my phone and I was like, that exists. But I do that all the time with everything.
I just cannot beat, I just love that TikTok feels way more relaxed. I mean, there are people like Zach has really great lighting. Like, he looks like a professional, like booktuber of level on his content quality. Mine is different quality type, but it's still like people still engage with it more than like on Instagram. And then Tome, I'm on Tome, but I kind of forget it exists sometimes.
Same.
Yeah.
It's a baby.
I really like it, but I think it's going to take me some time to start going there first. Like, I'm always like, oh yeah, Tome, like I should post on that. And then I tend to forget, but I know they're working through. It's been fun watching them like change things in real time, and they've been pretty transparent. So
I think that's good potential, like kind of like Tumblr like. And I think as they like, you know, work out the kinks of all the issues and add more features, it'll be a lot better. And of course, I don't even know if it's available for Android users still.
I think I looked and it wasn't when I checked because I have a cheap Android phone, so I haven't been able to join the fun yet.
Soon. I hear very soon that will be the case for everybody.
Tumblr.
Fingers crossed. All right. Well, we talked a little bit about the conception of Blades for Hire, but for those who haven't read it yet, let's talk a little bit about each of our individual stories. So as you guys know, Blades for Hire is all the stories in Blades for Hire are themed around mercenaries. They're all fantasy stories, but we have quite the variety. So I'm going to go kind of in reverse order this time, shake it up a little bit. Starting with you, Referee, tell our viewers a little bit about your short story in Blades for Hire and what they can expect going into it without getting into spoilers, of course.
Yeah. So my short story is called The Escort. And it revolves around a former soldier. Her name is Clara. And Clara is cursed. And she has to find a way to not be cursed. And that's when she hires Haru to help her break her curse. And they go on a journey with many twists and turns. And what they can expect, I feel like you can expect a very, if you like J.R.R. Tolkien, it will definitely feel a lot like his world, but also being its own thing. I really wanted to go where Token was unable to. That was the theme around this short story, is that he was only able to go in one part of his world, and I'm like, well, I want to go further than that. And so get to see the land, the people, the culture, and the history that is weaved into the short story. Yeah.
Very cool. That's great pitch. Well,
that was great. Yeah.
Tolkien always.
I've
Tolkien
never done that before, so I was like, I hope that was good.
Oh, hard.
Jordy and I are like,
Tolkien couldn't is good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jordy and I are really close, and we're in like a private little Discord together. And so I like, she has that heart of Tolkien, like the passion for the world building and the lore. She's always talking about languages and people groups and cultures and like all the history. It's really like beautiful and incredible. So I think it's accurate, like her, that they share that same passion of like, they're total nerds who are like, let's build a fantasy around a language I create type of nerd that I love. And I use nerd as a positive, not a negative.
Yeah, I think definitely in this profession, it's not ever a negative, right?
Yeah, agree.
Yeah, never.
That's Bex's out of context. Tolkien was a total nerd.
Oh, yeah. I am going to enjoy clipping this episode. I'm definitely clipping some of these and sending them to you guys.
One of my friends from high school had me a Sauron in her phone contact.
Oh, funny.
So that was me throughout high school. And my brothers call me Mini Token. And my whole family has made light or and made fun of me for my huge love of Token. And I was one day, I told Bex, I was like, you know what would be great? Everyone talks about including dragons in their books. I'm like, what if you combine elves and dragons? Dragon elves. It's a whole thing.
There we go.
That sounds like a D&D race.
Something
Baldur's Gate.
Yeah. Totally.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. I love my characters. They're great. Some of them scare me, but I feel like that's good, though.
I love that.
Nicole's just checking in on everyone's pronoun. Yeah, you know mine, I'm pretty sure. I'm just he, him, but...
Yeah, yeah, same. Mine are just default, he, him.
Same, default.
Yeah. Default.
Love that. Thanks for checking in, Nicole. I really appreciate when people do that. It's
what a sweetheart.
Yeah. Nicole's the best.
No. Nicole. That's real. Yes, Dragon Elves. It started.
All right, so I think I said I was going in reverse order. Okay, Zach. Give us the pitch for A Blade of Midst of Forest Sea.
Yeah, so in A Blade of Midst of Forest Sea, we follow Jeremiah DeRuze, who is a mercenary who is running from a family tragedy that is years in his past, and he's so far been unable to overcome. And he's hired by an eccentric botanist who is going on this journey into a gigantic canyon forest where the, you know, it's thousands of feet deep, that there's trees in this forest that are thousands of feet tall, to the point where the lower levels of this forest are pitch black, kind of like an ocean, which is where it gets its name, the Wealed Sea. Like, you go down there and it's, you probably don't come back. And this botanist is looking for this mythical Tree of Souls for important research purposes. And so he hires Jeremiah and a handful of other mercenaries to accompany him on this, what he says will be relatively uneventful expedition. And of course, things don't quite go according to plan. It is more eventful than the botanist promised, and Jeremiah is in the process forced to face the things that he's been running from, all while dealing with a very alien and strange kind of deep forest world. So yeah, that's the short of my story.
So unique and clever. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like the world you've created with the insanely tall trees. Very unique setting.
It's one of my favorite fantasy like world building things is you just go big. What if trees but big? What if snake but big?
Yeah. It's like sounds like Brandon Sanderson. I've been binge listening to his like podcasts and his like lectures and stuff. And he's always like, what if?
What if?
That is fantasy. What if?
What if big sword?
Right.
All right. Well, I'm going to actually interrupt before I go to the next person because we missed a question from Worryflower, I believe is the username. I'm trying to read that. they wanted to know what our favorite characters that we wrote for our short stories are. So does anyone have a favorite character that they wrote that maybe you see yourself using again in a future story? Or you could also leave that last part out. Like, if there's just a character you loved writing so much in your short story, please share that as well.
I mean, the character I just mentioned, Jeremiah, is the point of view, and he was probably the first character I created as an adult. Like, I got away from writing in my teens, and I started again in my early 20s, and Jeremiah was one of the first people I thought of. And so I probably have to pick him, and I do think he'll appear again. Like, this is a novella, and there's more to his story. Like, the original story I envisioned for him is not what I told in this story, so I think there's more to that.
Very cool.
My favorite character from your story, Zach, is one of the monkeys.
Oh,
yes.
They
were great.
The Bulabara?
They were great.
Yep, can't beat it. That is my favorite.
Hard to beat a good monkey.
It is.
Exactly.
An animal character is probably always going to end up being my favorite.
Yeah.
For mine, I don't know that I have a favorite. Mine is, I think, the shortest one in the whole book. It's only like barely over 5,000 words. But basically, my main character runs like an orphanage, and he's a mercenary to gain money to support his children. And I would say, though, my favorite child is one who's very protective of a chicken that he does not anyone really eat, funny. Even though they're like, they need food. They'll be like, this chicken is not getting eaten. This is my baby. And because even though he's like this big, gruff mercenary guy, he's also like, he loves his kids. And so he can't bear to break his child's heart by killing the chicken.
Your story may be short, but it leaves an impact. I was not well. I was not well at the end of your story.
I wasn't well in the beginning. I was like, this is off to a great start.
Yeah. It's a brand.
It's a brand.
It's what I'm going for.
I'm noticing a lot of animal love from Nicole mentioned pie, which is from Ash's story. And we got the monkey. We have a whole short story that I won't spoil too much, but it has a lot of squirrels.
Lots of squirrels.
Yeah, so lots Reverie, of animal love in there.
What was yours, Reverie? You put your hand up.
It's hard because all of my characters kind of have a big impact on what the escort is, but I'd have to say, even though he actually does do a lot, but I'd say out of all of them, it would be the twins of my book, Haru and Ciel. I say those that will be important later. I'm not going to spoil that, but I love the twins so much because not only they came out of an idea of some of Token's heroes from his books. In Token's series, not in mine, big disclaimer, Token's characters die. And I was so upset that their story ended so abruptly, and I wanted to find a way to continue that story, and that's how Haru and his brother were born out of that concept. In a lot of anime. But
say, Haru and Ciel sound very anime-esque, and they're ringing some bells, but I love that.
The twins are great. Yeah, and I love that idea that you kind of thought, I wish this story didn't end there. What would happen if...
Mm-hmm.
And then that's how you start your story. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. I really wanted to paint a story of these two characters that had experienced so much horror, war, and death, and yet they decided to help this young girl who was the daughter of the people who essentially led them to their demise. And I think that's kind of one of the driving points of these two characters. Even though the twins are vastly different in personality, they still have this noble spirit, and it really gives Clara hope that maybe the old heroes aren't as dead as people said they are. And that's, I feel like everyone needs a good hero story, and especially in the times that we live in, I feel like it's important to, you know, show that you can slay a dragon. It's not impossible. Or befriend one, in Clara's case. So, yeah. No slaying of the twins, please. You will not succeed.
Love that.
That makes so much sense. I didn't actually, for all the talking we discussed about her book, I did not know that is where the twins came from, and that makes, that tracks. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I also had been doing a delve of, like, Eastern Asian mythology, particularly surrounding Japan and China, and I really wanted to, like, delve into the dragon myths, because my whole life, Western dragons were evil, like Smaug, and, you know, from mm-hmm. Tolkien's work. And so when I discovered Asian fantasy and mythology, I was like, whoa, they're portrayed as good and virtuous, and I loved that concept. And yeah, I wanted to bring it to life.
That's such a great concept.
It is. Yeah. It's phenomenal.
What about you, Ash? Who's your favorite character that you wrote for your short story?
I am a pretty torn. Yeah, I actually like really love a good villain, and the matron for me, the leader of the witches, just like this gross old hag. I just kind of love that. But I also really like Kier. I like the concept of like a outwardly stoic, cold person, but when they actually like talk, they're very soft and like understanding and gentle. So yeah, I think, yeah, maybe like the matron who's very much like Baba Yaga, kind of like slightly villainous.
The matron was awesome.
But
yeah, I love
things. Yeah. Yeah, there was like a whole like little bit beforehand about like the ceremony where Tiala becomes like the oracle officially that I didn't put in there because it was definitely gonna be too long. Mm-hmm. And their interaction is pretty cool. So yeah, I think the matron is my favorite, but Kier is a close second. And then Pi, of course, like Nicole said, Pi the horse, who just is a pie. Horse. But
yeah. Hey. I love a good horse.
Yeah.
Horses are cool.
Well, while we're talking about your story, Ash, you were actually next to give your pitch. So for those who haven't read yours yet in Blades for Hire, what can they expect going into your short story?
Did Brandon say what his favorite character was from his story?
I don't think so. You go, Brandon.
I was hoping to skip this question.
Yeah. You don't get out of there.
Gotcha.
If we did, you have to.
See, this one's hard because I feel like I don't know if I have a favorite character, but there were two that I could see myself exploring further because I really liked writing them. The first one is Lauren, who was one of the main band of mercenaries that we follow. And the second one, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this without being like getting side-eyed, but I really liked writing Dane. He was very fun to write. He's not a very good person, but he has a very storied past that I would like to explore further someday. I think
there's room for that. Sometimes there. The terrible people, you're like,
that's my girl or my guy.
I mean, that's literally what George Lucas did with Darth Vader.
Here's
this villain, let's make you fall in love with Anakin Skywalker and see how we got there.
Right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I was actually gonna say one of my favorite characters was your villain. Like, it was a very like believable villain, and I just loved everyone's stories. I got to read pretty much. There was only two that I didn't get to read, but they're really incredible. I love everyone's characters. They're all so different. You get a good variety.
I agree.
Yeah, you get such a good feel for like what each author's style is and what they like to write to in each of these short stories. So, it's a very good, like, I'm losing the word, but like taste test of various indie fantasy authors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, totally.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that goes back to you, Ash. We didn't get your pitch.
No, it's okay. I'm not very practiced with the pitches yet.
That's okay. I'm not.
Same.
We essentially follow the New Kingdom's Oracle, Tiala, as she is escorted by her sellsword, Kier, to the kingdom to become the next Oracle, who essentially helps the king make good decisions. But along the way, she realizes that the Oracles are not necessarily used for good like they should be. And she has to decide whether or not she is going to take up the role or kind of change the fate of the kingdom that she's a part of. And I wanted to explore the concept of, like, this is your destiny, but do you have to follow your destiny if you don't want to? And, like, the consent of your own life and what you do if you're, if you don't agree with the policies or the politics or the ruling class, you know, how do you change that? So, yeah, that's a very brief synopsis. There's some magic, there's some drama. Yeah, that's about it.
Very cool. Bex, I think
it's
you
good.
Are...
Her story's great, too.
Thanks.
Yes, it's very good. Yeah. Ash, one of the things you do really well that I hope, and I'm sure I will see more of in A Filthy Hunger, is I really loved, like, the lore around the witches, but it was also still mysterious, and I, like, I wanted to know more, but also, you know, wasn't sure if I did. But, it was really great.
Witches as a faction in epic fantasy isn't something I haven't seen a ton of, and I would love to see more. Like, that, I think that's really neat.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
I think I feel like I see witches more in YA, like YA romantic fantasy. I really love the way Sarah J. Maas used them in Throne of Glass. That was really
super
cool.
Super similar. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the concept of, like, I know witches in our common culture get, like, a lot of, they have gotten a lot of bad rep, but they're kind of becoming super popularized. And I like kind of messing with that. Like, yeah, but what if they're still just, like, crazy powerful and scary? So more of that, like, how that,
I love how that interacts with, like, the world and the politics, too, because you have that power. People are going to fear you and try to oppress you, but also you have that power, which can be leveraged. And I think you play with those things in your story, which I really liked. And kind of reminds me a little bit of, like, in the Dune universe, they have the Bene Gesserit, which is kind of like a witch-like faction that is doing stuff. Yeah. And I love that. It's great. So you should definitely read Ash's story.
Yeah, I was very much inspired by the Bene Gesserit and Sarah J. Maas's, like, Manon and that kind of, So thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
I definitely got those vibes.
Oh, yeah, it's really cool. Awesome. I think those concepts are timeless, going against, you know, the cultural norm. And also, people will always fear the unknown. That's something that just happens a lot in culture and society as a whole. And
Totally.
I feel like it's really cool to explore. And I think you do a good job. Yeah.
Thank you.
We got a pronunciation question from Nicole Ash, relating to yours.
How do you pronounce? Okay, so I pronounce, I don't know if this is when you're like, oh, is the spelling correct? But it's Benaya. So the Benaya is, and then that's she was like the Benai.
Ooh,
so a little bit of a double. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I was like, maybe I should have put, like, a pronunciation guide, because I'm a sucker for those. I love a pronunciation guide. Love multiple maps, love multiple pronunciations and definitions, but I was also like, I don't know if I can do this in a short story. But I'm also open to hearing what everyone else thought it sounded like, because that's fun too.
It's always fun to hear how people pronounce something you've written if you don't tell them how. I've gotten some interesting ones before, for sure.
Yeah, I mispronounce everything, excited. Including my own stuff, so don't ask me.
I'm excited to see how they pronounce my, I call them drag elves in my short story, but that's from the Gaelic word for dragon.
Oh, cool.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Bex, I think fun we times. Touched on your story a little bit, but I don't think you've answered the pitch question yet. So tell people who are listening and tuning in to the podcast what they can expect from your story. After all, it is the first one they're going to be greeted with. So
yeah.
I touched a little bit on it. So, it's set in a like historical fantasy, where during the Three Kingdoms of Korea, with dragons. And so it's, you know, like I said, it follows a mercenary who does his trade because there's not many options to make really good money. And he wants to take care of all these orphans, who most are orphans by war, because you have these three kingdoms fighting with each other. And that's based on real history. It follows, it's called The Final Mission, because he's ready to retire. He's getting old and he's ready to just hang out with his kids, but he just needs a little bit more money to secure their, you know, comfort and future. So this just follows him and just showing a glimpse of what his kind of mission and what his life is like. And it's going to be connected to, I'm finally getting to it. I feel like the story's finally fermented and it's ready. It's going to be connected to hopefully a trilogy, possibly a duology. We'll see if I can write that many books in a series. So I'm finally getting to that now.
Very cool. I know you mentioned the Dragon Rider trilogy a long time ago on TikTok, and I've been excited for it ever since. So I will be first in line to pick it up. And the short story was great as well. It's a great introduction to that world for sure.
Thank you. I know it's, I really want, it was supposed to be, I mentioned this on the podcast episode I was on, but it was supposed to be the next thing I worked on right after the Throne of English duology, but it just was not ready. Like, I only had, like, two characters figured out, and there's just so much. And for whatever reason, it just, my brain needed time. And also, some influence on, like, current events, but not, like, worldwide events, like, personal. And, one of the big themes it's gonna touch on is, like, sexual abuse within religious institutions. So I think that's really pertinent to our time. I'm really excited to dive into that in a fantasy and also share my love of Korean history all at once.
I think one of the things that excites me most about it is the Eastern version of dragons. Cause we see a lot of, you know, the European interpretation of dragons in fantasy a lot, but we don't get a lot of the Eastern dragons, which are equally cool in my opinion.
Agreed.
So I'm super excited to see more of those, because I loved how you depicted it in the few thousand words that you did. All right, well, let me open my document here because I lost track of my next question. But all right, I'm sure the answer to this is going to be wildly different for all of us, but we spent a good part of a year working on Blades for Hire, so I want to chat a little bit about the process of creating our worlds, our characters, and writing our stories, because I think it'll be fun to see where we differ from each other in this regard. So Ash and I have talked a lot about our writing process on Quill and Query and how it's kind of differed during Blades for Hire to you know, our larger projects like our work in progress novels and such. But I'm curious what the process of writing the short story was like for you guys. So I guess I'll throw it back to you, Bex. What was the process of writing for Blades for Hire like, and how did it compare to your other works like Throne of Anguish?
So for those of you who know me, but for those of you who don't, I feel like my natural inclination and talent is towards shorter stories, shorter series. So like standalone duology is like my time to shine. Novellas, I feel like. And so for me, it was like pretty easy because it's just what I'm like kind of naturally inclined to. And I am a hardcore just pantser or gardener, discovery writer, whatever you want to call it. And so I remember I think I started with the opening, then skipped to the ending, which is usually how I do things anyways. And then I go and randomly fill in the middle, except this one was a lot easier than other ones because it was so short, you know, 5,000 versus like 70,000. It was a lot easier. So yeah, I finished in like a month or something.
But you did finish first.
So you did, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It was short, fun. I knew I wanted to tie it to my trilogy and kind of use it as like a launching pad for that trilogy that's gonna come out eventually.
Well, Ash, you and I have talked about it at length, I think, but now that we're at the finish line here, what are some takeaways you have from the writing process of Blades for Hire, and how did it differ from like how you work on A Filthy Hunger?
Yeah, I won't bore everyone who's listened to me wax poetic about my process for, you know, last year. But I don't think I would have, it fundamentally changed how I write. So I'm really thankful to for being a part of this, the process in general, because it really did open my eyes to the type of writer I need to be and want to be, particularly when it comes to planning. So I just learned that I really need to be more structured. I thought I was a plotzer, planter, someone who like kind of loosely planned, but then just kind of wung it the rest of the time. But I found out I really do need to be a much more detail-oriented, hyper-focused outliner, so that the writing process comes easier and I don't get so stuck with like white page syndrome. So I'll keep it short and simple in that regard. But yeah, I think it really did change how I work, and going forward, I'm taking that into A Filthy Hunger, and it's actually becoming a much easier process. So I'm very thankful for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. Zach. How about you? Yeah, Zach, you're up next. How was your writing process for Blades for Hire? How did it go for you?
Yeah, it was interesting. It was a little different than my previous processes had been. And my process has kind of just been all over the place. Like I said, this is the first thing I've like really finished, actually finished. And so, you know, I did my fair share of gardening or pantsing, you know, just kind of having sort of an idea and then going for it. And then I'd always inevitably get stuck. So over time, I've become more of an outliner. And so for my full length novels I'm working on, like I have a pretty good outline because I kind of need that to know what to build towards. Otherwise I just get kind of lost and that gives me writer's block. For this though, because it's a shorter story, like I kind of had the inception of the idea and I was like, okay, I know it's going to be about Jeremiah. I knew we're going to go down to this location that I already dreamed up, and I have like a vague sense of like what's actually going on. But then the other thing I did, and I've never approached a story this way, is I wrote out the chapter headings that I had imagined, kind of like a storybook. It was like, okay, chapter one, you know, four mercs and a botanist walk into a bar. Chapter two, tin delay. Chapter three, along the, you know, the highway of trees or whatever. And I just, these kind of storybook titles for like what each, I had like an image in my mind, and I just wrote a little chapter title for each one. And there was like 9 or 10 of them. And that sort of became my outline. I didn't have much more than that. That was just enough of a signpost for each section that I'd be like, okay, now I'm on this chapter. Here's kind of where they're going. And then I would just kind of write it organically from there. And that was fun. And it gave me some ideas too. Like when I started writing these chapter headings, like I came up with some lore and like plot complications just on the fly, almost like it was improv. And it was really fun, but that's different than anything I've ever done. I don't think that would work for a full length novel for me, but it worked for this particular story. And yeah, I mean, the other thing about my process with this, I think, is we talked about the accountability, having people to check in with, like, you know, the first 9 months of this process, I procrastinated for the most part. Technically, I think I started two other stories that I realized, like, both of them, I was like, oh, this is 100,000 plus words, and I had to abandon them. And I finally settled on this one. So, but I think that accountability helped, where we finally got down to the deadline. It was like, okay, I need to buckle down and just write this. And then I kind of finished it up right along the deadline. So yeah, that's my process for this one.
Yeah. Mine, was actually pretty similar for this, and still very different from how I'm trying to write A Night of Knives. But I did a lot of discovery writing for my short story. And I, too, also started with a different idea at first. I wrote like 3,000 words of it at first. And that was going to be a prequel short story to my work in progress, A Night of Knives. But I just wasn't feeling ready to share this world quite yet. And I felt like the story wasn't taking shape the way I wanted it to. So that's why I also pivoted at like the 9 month mark. So,
yeah,
great decision on my part. But no, I do like the story that I put out more than one I was working on.
It's a good story. Yeah. I think it worked out well. Like, it was probably stressful in the moments you were like, and I think I was in a similar place. We were both like, it's like end of September, early October, and we're like already past deadline. We're like rushing to finish our stories.
Yeah.
But, hey, it got us there.
Right.
Go ahead, Brandon.
I was just going to say, it felt especially stressful to like remind you guys of the deadline while I was also like, yeah, but am I going to hit that?
No, I was telling telling Brandon, I ended up like taking a half day off of work because the deadline was coming up, and I was like, I just need to sit down and just like write it and then spend a couple weeks editing before the final deadline. And I ended up, you'll like this, Reverie, I ended up watching all three extended edition Lord of the Rings in the background to like just
yes.
set the vibe. It's like my comfort, you know, series.
Oh, same.
And, yeah, and it took me all three and I think half of the first Hobbit to finish all of it. So yeah, I learned deadlines help, but procrastination is something I have to work on.
Same.
So I got the TikTok notification that asks me if I'm still like breathing.
Yes, yeah. We are alive.
But yeah, correct, no, I like that you mentioned that, because when you told me about that, I like wrote that down as like, I need to try this if I ever have like writer's block. Just put
yeah,
it works.
12 hours of movies on in the background. Lord of the Rings. Works. So I'm definitely going to try that.
I love the idea, but I think if I put Lord of the Rings on within 10 minutes, I'm just watching Lord of the Rings again, which I'm not against.
Yeah,
it was nice to break. And see, you know, that's you just true. Be like, oh,
I mean, it
oh,
does wait, get yeah. it does get the right mood. I will say that
it does. It's perfect.
I and can't mm-hmm. watch it.
It doesn't have to be Lord of the Rings. I'm just saying it can be anything that's going to get you where you need. Because I, for my, not the Dragon Rider, but my other Romantasy Whip, that's with my beta readers. It's Beauty and the Beast inspired, not a retelling, but inspired. And I played Beauty and the Beast, the Disney animated, the live action, the sequel, on repeat, like through most of my writing. There was a little bit of song, but like it just helped me, like having it go there,
yeah,
just like helped give me kind of the direction and the mood and the vibes. Like putting on a movie can be so helpful for getting you and like keeping you on track.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
Sounds like Nicole's is NCIS. She says her secret to getting through graduate classes. Yep. Welcome back, River.
Real quick, my phone was about to die because I forgot to charge it. Okay. I just plugged in a power block to my phone and swapped out my microphone. Do I sound okay? Can
you hear me? You sound still? Fine.
You still sound good over here.
Yeah. Cool.
All right, see, Reverie. I think. What was your process like?
Yeah.
For the short story.
For the process of the escort, I wanted to combine one of my favorite genres of all time, which is like the mercenary blade for hire kind of thing, and also facing a dragon. The Hobbit, funny you mention it, was instrumental in the ending of my short story because I always wondered what it would be like if someone like me, who struggled with anxiety, depression, and, you know, had curses to an extent and had to face off with something that was much older than her and much more prepared to bring her down, not only in spirit but also in body. And I wanted to, so I did a lot of research. I delved into The Hobbit again. I kind of memorized the scene of Bilbo facing off, for lack of better words, with Smaug, and instead of riddles, Clara has to answer these really tough questions that are so just ridiculously convoluted. And she's like, I don't know the answer. You know, a typical college student's answer, just like, I don't know. And I also, when I was writing Haru and Ciel specifically and their journey of helping Clara discover what her curse is, because there wasn't really a name to it, I was inspired by the scene in The Two Towers where Gandalf is talking to the three hunters, Gimli, Aragorn, and Legolas, and they're in Fangorn Forest and the trees are waking up. And that scene was very instrumental in the flow of the story, that I really wanted to come across that something was waking up. Like something that was dormant and asleep. These heroes that were long gone were slowly coming back. And there's little subtle hints throughout the short story to kind of give that feel of something's happening, something that hasn't happened in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And Clara slowly starts to piece that together as the short story goes on.
That's something I love in fantasy, is when you have like the mm-hmm. long dormant thing waking back up. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's classic.
It's the best.
And I always thought, like, how would a young college student who never really thought her life would amount to anything, especially a former soldier, because Clara fought in a great war, now she's home as a veteran, the world kind of views her differently now because she's cursed, and she's also, you know, seen some stuff at war, so she's trying to process through all of that. And so to be told, hey, remember those heroes from long ago? Bless you.
Thank you.
That was an aggressive blessing.
I love doing
the blessing.
Good, accept it. Get blessed.
Sorry.
Anyway. Really, really just showing Clara that, yes, the world is dark, and yes, it's war-torn, but hope is coming. It's really a message of hope. Of just to show people, like, hey, just because the world seems dark and there's always someone who is going to come back. It's a very Beowulf kind of experiment of, hey, look in the distance, it's Beowulf and his, you know, and his men. And I really wanted to paint that with the escort. And that's why it's called the escort, because it's about Haru and his brother, the hero that is returning. And yeah. Why I didn't have Haru narrate the story, ask me in 3 years. I don't know. But yeah, that was kind of my process. I don't really have a good... I had an outline. The outline failed. So I just kind of saw where the story flew, and then it... But I had the end in my mind. I knew how it was going to end from the moment I wrote it. I was like, I know where it was heading. I just didn't know how the heck to start it.
It's not always how it goes, though. You're just like...
Always.
Yeah, I kind of know how... That's how I feel with most of my stuff. I'm like, I know what the ending needs to be. But how do I get there? How do I get there?
She's like, she's got to face a wyvern, which is... Mm. It's not the typical wyvern. I'm excited to see how the readers will respond to this wyvern. It's inspired by the Seven Deadly Sins, which is... Because that concept has always fascinated me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Nicole. You're cool.
Nicole. She is very cool. Can confirm.
Yeah. Thank you, Nicole. You rock. But yeah.
Excuse me. Sorry, guys. My throat is not cooperating.
How dare you be sick?
Yeah, I know. Perfect timing.
I'm joking.
Right?
This is a joke. It's a joke, chat. It's a joke. I promise.
All right. Well, coming close to like our... the end time here. So I am going to jump ahead a couple questions because I think this one will be the most important mm-hmm. for people who are mm-hmm. picking up Blades for Hire or who are tuning into this episode of Quill and Query. And excuse me, that one is about long-term writing goals and future projects. So I think mm-hmm. obviously as to be expected, many of us or all of us here are working on additional writing projects, whether that's books mm-hmm. or short stories. So say a reader is picking up Blades for Hire and they really enjoyed your short story. What are either some other works you currently have out that they can go to, or what can they expect to see from you in the future? Where do you want to take your author career, and what other stories are you looking to write? I guess I will go backwards again. I'll throw it to you first, Reverie.
Okay. So my future projects, I have a trilogy planned. It's called The Broken Crown. Yes, it's inspired by the Mumford & Sons song. Thank you for asking. I knew that was going to happen. I was prepared. I'm like, don't ask. Yes. No, in all honesty, I can't remember who it was, but I think it was either my older brother or my mom. One afternoon, they came. I was like, I don't know what to write next. All my other projects have failed. I've written 3 different mythologies in my time, and each one of them just fell down the gutter and just didn't really capture what I wanted. And then one day I was dwelling on an old D&D campaign I had done. It was inspired by a part of Tolkien's appendices with Aragorn's people and how the kingdoms near Breeland and the Shire all fell. And I was so inspired by that particular part of the mythos, I wanted to do a kind of reverse. I'm like, what if it fell and got rebuilt? Kind of doing a flip-flop of how the original myth was. And so that's kind of how the Broken Crown came to be, and the escort as itself, because it is the introductory of the world of Delphine, which is, that is the world name. It's an island.
Very cool.
And thank you. The concept came, like, part of the concept was tokens on fairy stories, and he talks about the perilous realm. And so my first book I'm currently working on is called Secrets of the Perilous Realm. It's about three soldiers that are sent into this terrible valley to discover what happened 100 years ago and how to stop something from waking up. Again, that waking up kind of thing, but this time in a negative light.
How many books are going to be in the series?
Okay, so at first I was dead set on two, but as it tends to go, it looks like it's going to be three at this point, because it's the first book is them discovering the threat, next book is trying to solve the threat, and third would be the conclusion of that story.
Nice.
But yeah. I really wanted to write a series about facing the unknown. Mental health struggles as a concept, and also just how do you kind of, I'm quoting Tolkien again because that's just what I do, when Frodo's like, how do you continue on from an old life? And I wanted to see if that was possible, and I think it is, but I don't think you can do it alone. And I think that's an important part of the fellowship of these characters, that they learn to help each other.
And very cool.
That's excellent.
That is what I'm working on. Sorry, that was a little long-winded, but
it's all good. That's okay. What I'm doing. Well, it sounds like anyone who picks up Blaze for Hire and enjoys the escort has a lot to look forward to, so that's great.
Oh, so much. And other short stories.
Yeah, definitely.
Never-ending.
All right, I'm going to throw it over to you, Zach. What can readers of Blades for Hire and specifically A Blade of Mist of Horacy expect to see from you in the future?
Yeah, so a couple of things. So the full-length novel that I've been working on for the past couple of years is set in the same world as A Blade Amidst a Forest Sea, and there's a couple of characters that might cross over with that story as well. My full-length novel, I don't have a title for it yet. I've just been calling it The Wings of Tormorant. And the Wings are a faction in this mountain city called Heavenspire. They fly on these gigantic eagles, you know, kind of like the eagles in Lord of the Rings. And that's how they patrol this mountainous kingdom. And it's, you know, that was the original idea. It was like, I love giant eagles and I want knights riding them. And that's like, that's going to be battle. It's going to be cool.
You've had dragons. Now come eagles.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, that's kind of what I'm going for. The Wings of Tormorant follows a girl named Riadra, who is the bastard daughter of like a general and war hero. It's a kind of a caste-based system in their society where there are people who are in the upper echelon and there are people who aren't. Because she's a bastard, she is not. And so it's kind of her story not fitting in with the upper tier and not being allowed to kind of become a wing. And it's kind of her story of like how she... kind of comes into her own, and also her family name is sort of tarnished and she is driven out of her home, and so it's her whole story. So that's something I'm working on, excited about that. And then I have a few other series longer term. I have a sci fantasy epic that I'm working on, kind of in the vein of like Dune or Sun Eater or Star Wars. And so yeah, I don't want to go on too long, but there's some fun stuff I have coming.
Very cool. I'm excited to learn more about that sci fantasy series one day, because I think that's a very that's a genre that we need more of, for sure. Yeah,
maybe we can do another podcast sometime and we can talk about that subject in more detail.
You had me at eagles.
Yeah.
You had me at giant eagles. I'm like, heck yeah. I am a pretty easy creature to please.
Yeah. Well, I'll say, for the sci fantasy epic, I'll say giant space leviathans. So that's kind of...
There you go.
That's your selling point. Yeah.
I'm getting a recurring theme, Zach. The giant trees, the giant eagles, and now we have...
What's our rule of fantasy? Big.
Hey, the professor would be big proud. Eagle.
But then the would be final,
so proud and offended.
The final book Zach is going to write is like, what if everything was super small?
Yes.
Yes.
And that's going to be the last book.
Bite-sized.
Yep.
It'll be great.
That would be hilarious.
All right, Ash, well, I think most of our fans know about our works in progress, but for those who don't and are picking up Blades for Hire for the first time, what kind of stories can they expect to see from you in the future?
So I have a couple of short story ideas that I'm probably going to pursue, and if not in your next anthology project, Brandon, put forth in maybe some others. One's a little bit more of like real life, what if like ghosts sort of thing. So very vague, but I'm kind of just starting out with that one. I've got a couple other ideas too for like a sci-fi short story. Awesome. But I'm working on a larger project called, well, the first book in a trilogy called The Filthy Hunger, or A Filthy Hunger, but it's a larger project called The Book of Witnesses. And it's essentially a dark high fantasy, two points of view. One is about, one point of view is princess who doesn't want to be next in line, haunted by a woman she doesn't really know, gets kidnapped by the other character who is a sperm prince turned spy master. And they have to decide whether or not their kingdoms are worth saving from these gods that are kind of coming back to life and into power. That's what I'm working on. I've got the part one fully fleshed out. We're going to keep on going.
So sick. Does that mean it's going to be an enemies to lovers romance?
If you know me, you know it's going to be an enemies to lovers romance, but a slow burn. Because I love a slow burn. Even better.
Sold. I'm sold.
So they're gonna be angst.
Literally sold.
All the angst, all the anger, all the hatred, all the why am I having angst. These feelings? Oh, he's the enemy. Yeah, all that.
So excited.
Heck yeah. I'm sold.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm excited.
I've been sold since the beginning, but especially when I saw your posts about I think it was your villain posts.
Yeah.
Those were great. You do really good with like the occult stuff. I love it.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
And Bex, you actually have some books that people can go out and buy now. So if they like The Final Mission, what can they expect from those books? And then what can they expect going forward in your author career?
So as far as things already out, the things I have are out a little bit different than the short stories. So for example, my three novels are all like first person, and they're at least Throne of Anguish is not happier.
It's really not.
It's in the title. but yeah, so I have a YA dark Christian romantic fantasy, and I recommend checking the trigger warnings on that. It's at in my opinion, YA appropriate level, but it's like, you know, still dark. So check that. It's my baby. Although it was my first book, so you know my writing is definitely improving with each book. So be aware of that. And then if you really loved my short story, I think you'll really love one of my novellas. Actually, both novellas, but one of them is Daughters of the Sun, and it is inspired by true events and true people about female Peshmerga fighters who fought ISIS. But I wrote it in like a fantastical way, but equally as sad and devastating. And then I have another novella that you can get for free on my website called Where the River Sings for You. And that was that's a romanticy, almost romantic fantasy, kind of on that line. If you really love, like, Avatar Last Airbender, you'll love that one. And then Bound to the Tyrant King is a Korean historical romance that's, like, a K-drama. That was really fun to get to just share little itty bits of, like, my passion of the Korean language and culture and history. But also, it is still fiction, so it's not 100% accurate. And I kind of ignored Confucianism because, like, nothing would happen. that's all the things that I have out that you can go read if you really fell in love with my writing style. And then my current whip is a Korean romantasy inspired by Beauty and the Beast. I really would love to do like a series where it's like Korean mythology meets Western fairy tales, because it kind of reminds me of me and my husband. My husband's Korean and I'm, you know, obviously white and I'm American. And so kind of merging that, like those two things together in a really pretty way. Mm-hmm. And I'm planning on queering that. If no one takes it, I'm going to, in like a year, I'm going to self-publish it and then query the next thing and repeat that cycle until one something eventually hits in the trad pub pool. And so, yeah. And then of course the Dragon Rider Korean fantasy that I talked about. And then tons more in the future, but those are like the next ones that are going to come out.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Well, I guess Brandon, that leaves, yeah.
Before you try and sneak out of this, you have to tell us more.
Yeah, I know. I can't get out of anything today, huh? No, just joking.
Not at all.
No, so I mean, anyone who's been following me or the podcast for a while knows my work in progress, much like Ash's, is dark fantasy. It's called A Knight of Knives. It is a murder mystery story. The short pitch of it is that we follow the king's sworn protector after he very clearly fails in his duty to protect the king. And the plot slowly kind of becomes much bigger than that, but I can't get into much of that without spoiling. As far as what you can expect from me, fantasy, horror, specifically like cosmic horror,
sick,
and I do love sci-fi as well, so those are probably the three genres I'm going to stick to for the most part. I don't give timelines anymore for when you can expect those things, just sometime in the future, but also definitely be on the lookout for more anthologies, because as I've shared with this wonderful group of authors here, I do plan on doing many more in the future, because this was such a fun process. It was so fun to work with everybody. And I think it's a really great way to learn more about my writing process and my style and what works best for me. That's the gist of it. Dark fantasy, cosmic horror, and sci-fi. Those are my favorite genres to read. Love so
that. I'll make a promise on timelines. August 23rd of some August 23rd. I'll have something.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Somewhere. That works. I could do something. Yeah. August 24th rolls around, you're like, well, it wasn't this one. So.
Dang.
Yeah. 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 Well, this one. Yeah.
Well, it's exactly. Next year.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to share some closing thoughts, but if anybody has any questions or comments in the chat, please do share now. Also, I will share the password. I didn't forget. But I will share the password to get your free ebook copy of Blades for Hire in a minute. But as I said, all of the proceeds from Blades for Hire will be going to the Book Trust charity, which again is designed, or whose mission is to provide equitable access to books to children around the world, to instill that love of reading that we all know and I'm sure have felt. So if you feel encouraged to donate to them, you can do so at booktrust.org, or you can buy a copy of Blades for Hire. Again, all of the money that I get from that will be going directly to them. So
if you really want fantasy to support fix, them, if you really want to support them, you could buy a dozen copies of Blades for Hire.
You can absolutely do that.
That would support children a lot.
You know,
and if you
buy a bunch,
if you do pick up Blades for Hire, we would love to see, hear what you thought of it. Goodreads reviews and Amazon reviews help the most. They give us some visibility. And if you don't know where to find Blades for Hire, like I said, it's on Amazon. And if you go to any of our profiles, you will see several signposts and links pointing you in the right direction. So if you tell me you couldn't find it, I won't believe you. But yeah.
I agree.
Same.
Well, we are almost done with Cool and Queer, but did anyone have any closing thoughts that they wanted to share? I see Bex raising her hand.
Yeah.
You are free to speak, by the way.
I actually raise my hand in my real life too, because I have ADD and I'm really trying to be better about not interrupting people, and I will literally raise my hand to my mom. It's actually really been helpful. Looks a little weird, but super helpful. I just wanted to give a little shout out to all the people who couldn't be here and like one liner their stories, because they're all so fantastic in different ways. So A Small Oath by Tyler is great if you love Reap a Cheap. It was a very fun Narnia kind of feeling story that I was really fun. Was it Everything at Once, but I'm so sorry, Ruby. Okay, the one by Ruby. It's a really long title that I can't remember at this moment in time. But it was, that one's a really fun little heisty, little piratey, really fun. And we have by S.M. Campbell, his The Man from Delvis, Mar. Not Mars, Mar. And that one is a really fun kind of like epic sci-fi moment, and I just really loved his sense of humor. So if you really like that like comedy voice, really great story for that. We have, unfortunately I did not read Ren's story. That's one of the few that I didn't get a chance to read, so I can't comment on that one. But also Acrassi's Halberd, I believe.
Yeah, that was Mark's story. Anthony.
Also really good, gut-wrenching. I felt was like a really good exploration of like people's motivations for like life, and kind of it felt very kind of like study of like the human condition, what motivates us and why we pursue certain things. That one was like really fun, good classic. I feel like dark, kind of dark fantasy, a little bit grim dark, dare I say. And then we had Skullbroken. Thank you. Oh my gosh, the brain fog today. But that is by M.T. Zimney, and that one made me cry. It is beautiful exploration of motherhood and like a mother's identity and her identity outside of motherhood, even after having kids. And I thought it was just really beautiful. And I think even if you're just like a woman, it just will hit you, even if you don't have kids. And hopefully also for men, can kind of enlighten them to how a lot of mothers may feel, especially dealing with like postpartum depression. I think that's all of them. Did I miss one?
I think you covered all of them. I was looking through the proof copy I have over here. I like how it's not even here in the reverse side recording. It doesn't even show up on TikTok. That's awesome. Yeah, right here, guys.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I just want to make sure, because everyone's stories were really great. You get a good mix, and I'm so proud of everyone for their work and so happy to get to share with everybody.
Agreed. Yay. So many great stories. Anyone else want to share any closing thoughts before we sign off? And I will make sure I share the password. Don't worry. We're not to the end yet.
Yeah, you haven't earned it. You haven't earned it yet. No, I'll just agree with everything Beck said. A lot of great stories in this. If you like fantasy and mercenaries, you should check it out. And then I will say, for anybody who is like I feel like a lot of people who read fantasy are to some degree an aspiring author or have some interest in coming up with a story. If that's the case, and you've maybe tried writing something, push through and just finish something, maybe start something small. That's what I had to do. I'm in my 30s now. So, you know, it's not too late. You're never too old or young to do this. Maybe try and find a community on TikTok or Instagram or Reddit or somewhere that can help keep you accountable. But it's been a really great experience, and it's really fun to finish something and have other authors you can share that with. So yeah, you can do it if you're listening and you want to. You definitely can do it.
Reverie, Ash, any parting words for our audience? It's okay if you don't.
Same what Zach said, same with Bex. I'm really proud of everyone. We worked really hard to make this come into fruition, especially Brandon. He organized the whole thing, so thank you again.
Yeah.
And
shout out to Brandon.
Shout out to Brandon.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And to Bex for formatting. Also,
yes, thank you, Bex. Also, just don't ever, especially to the audience, I know a lot of the culture today kind of looks down on adults who read fantasy or, you know, enjoys that kind of genre, but I'd like to remind them all of a quote from C.S. Lewis where he says, "Soon again, you will be old enough to read fairy tales again." So
nice.
Fairy tales have the power to teach us so many great things and to teach how to love each other. So don't be afraid. Be adventurous, be curious, and go boldly.
All right,
Ash, bring in the C.S. Lewis quote to end it. That's really
good. I'm sorry. Even at that. No, I think that's very powerful. Everyone has said everything that I already feel. Thanks to everybody, Brandon and Bex, especially for, you know, most importantly, Brandon, for never complaining and asking for more than he needed, which is so impressive. But yeah, I'm just really honored and happy to have my work finally published alongside everyone else's. So round of applause for everybody. Nicole said crying in the chat. Honestly, same. Yeah. but I think that's all for me.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you guys the password now. Finally, it is just self-sword. So if you want your free e-copy of Blades for Hire, just DM me on Instagram or here on TikTok, the word self-sword. And I'll make sure you get your free copy. So thank you to everyone who did stay. I see we have like 10 people who stayed for the full episode. So thank you so much. Thank you to everyone who has and is going to pick up a copy of Blades for Hire. And thank you so much to everybody here who joined us today. It was a very fun episode. I had a lot of fun chatting with you guys about Blades for Hire.
Thanks everybody.
This was fun.
All right. See you soon.
Bye. See you guys.
See ya.
Thank you so much, everybody, for joining the Quill and Query podcast to celebrate the Blades for Hire Anthology release day. We are super excited to share these short stories with you. And one of our fellow anthology authors wasn't able to make the live stream, but he did want to share some words with you guys. So I'm going to leave that on at the end of the video here so you guys can hear what he has to say. Thanks again so much to everyone who supported us, and we can't wait to see you on the next episode of Quill and Query.
Hey everybody, sorry I couldn't make it to the live stream today. Life has got me very, very busy right now, but I hope you guys are having a lot of fun with this, and I wanted to pop in and at least leave a message to say how excited I am about having this Blades for Hire anthology come out. It's one of the funnest stories I think I've ever written. My short story is called A Small Oath. It's about a group of squirrel adventurers who are saved by a barbarian. But their blood oath and loyalty oath is lost in translation. It's a really fun story. It's one of the most lighthearted stories I think I've written in a long time. I think you guys are going to love it. So make sure you check it out in Blades for Hire. And check out all of the other amazing stories as well. I've had the pleasure to proofread and beta read a lot of these stories. And I'm super, super excited for you guys to read all of them.